As I was reading in my own personal devotional time, and part of the devotional reading included quotes from Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Dietrich Bonhoeffer was a young theologian in the 20th century. He started writing books when he was 20, believe it or not. When he was in his 30s, Hitler had him executed. And Dietrich Bonhoeffer, much like C.S. Lewis, has become increasingly popular since his death. And so I just want to read to you a sentence or two from his book, Meditating on the Word. One cannot simply read the Bible the way one reads other books. One must be prepared to really question it. Only then will it open itself up. Only when we await the final answer from the Bible will it be given to us. And then some reflections on that statement. The Bible is God's divine recipe for life. It teaches us God's wisdom. It challenges us to make God's concerns central to our lives. But the Bible does not yield its riches easily. It needs to be mined for its wisdom and pressed for its answers. An attitude which seeks and which longs to know the mind of God is therefore essential to hearing what God might say to us. Of course, hearing must be followed by doing, and in doing, more will be revealed to us. The more penetrating our questions, the more profound the answers will be. The secret of true wisdom is to ask those questions that lead to understanding. So with that sort of background, I want to read to you a passage from Luke chapter 5. We invite you to stand. This is an event in the life of Jesus and Simon Peter. Many of you that did our map study, if you want to visualize where this event occurred, is in the northern shore of the Sea of Galilee, up right near Capernaum, where Peter's home was and where Jesus set up his base of operations for most of his ministry. So this is the northern shores of the Sea of Galilee. Luke chapter 5, beginning with verse 4, hear God's word. When he had finished speaking, he, that's Jesus, said to Simon, "Put out into your deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything." Now, let me pause a moment. Simon is the professional, lifelong fisherman. Jesus knows nothing about fishing, really, in experience. He's a carpenter. And so Peter owns the ships. He owns the nets. He knows the Sea of Galilee backwards and forwards, upside down. He is the professional that has been fishing there all of his life. And Jesus has the audacity to tell him to go out and try it again. Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I'll let down the nets." When he had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full they began to sink. God's word for God's people. You may be seated. What I want to do is ask five questions of the text. Now I'm going to give some response to the questions, but you can run with the questions yourself. You can fill in the blanks. You can wrestle with the text. The first question is in some ways the most basic of all questions, and that is, are we listening to Jesus? Are we paying attention? Are we listening to what he has to say? Remember, if Simon hadn't listened, there would be no story. Jesus is the initiator. He begins the relationship. He begins the conversation. The Holy Spirit is constantly speaking. The issue is, do our receptors pick up the message? Are we listening to what he has to say? You know, it's really amazing how often the command to listen occurs in the Bible. I mean, just take Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3, where Jesus is talking to the seven churches in Asia Minor. Each of those admonitions end with the same words. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. So again, the issue is, are we listening? One of the things that I was deeply grateful for my wife Susan when the children were young, and I'll just pick on Philip since he's here, when Philip was young, one of the first qualities that Susan taught the kids is attentiveness. And this is what she would say. She would say, now when somebody's talking to you, and Philip, you probably could quote this, when somebody's talking to you, especially if it's an adult, put down what you're doing. Turn around and face the person who's speaking. Remember, 72% of all communication is nonverbal. So you want to see the facial expressions. You want to see the body English. You want to catch it all. Drop what you're doing. Turn and face the person who's speaking and give them your full attention. Now, just imagine if that's what we were doing to the Heavenly Father. Dropping what we were doing. And sometimes we're so preoccupied. The most difficult thing is drop what we're doing, to give him an ear, to pay attention, to listen to what he has to say. A Bible teacher that, and I've shared this in the past, but let me share it again because it's meant so much to me through the years. A Bible teacher who in charismatic circles named Bob Mumford wrote a book on divine guidance. And in that book, he's talking about listening. He's talking about discerning God's will. And he gives a very vivid picture of what listening involves. There is a port in the nation of Italy that is a very treacherous port to enter. The only way to navigate safely into that port is to line up the three lights that are mounted on three poles in the water. And so if you get all the poles lined up as if they're one, you know your entry is safe and secure. And Bob Mumford suggests that discerning God's will for us, understanding his call for our lives, listening to him, is like those three lights. And he suggests that the three lights are, number one, God's word, the Bible. That's the foundational. That's the critical one. Are we mining the truth from Scripture? Are we getting it? Regardless of what goes on, the word will not change. You know, that's the standard. That's the plumb line. That's the first light. The second light is the voice of the Holy Spirit who may be nudging us personally, individually, or even communicating through another person. Are we listening? Are we paying attention? Do we recognize God's voice from all the other voices that fill and clamor for attention? And the third light, which is critically important, sometimes we overlook it, is what sometimes we call circumstance. You know, somebody will say, oh my goodness, a door opened wide open. Well, the sovereign of the universe who calls us to do something is ordering our lives. He's opening doors. He's making a way possible. So circumstances are critical and key in discerning God's call and God's direction. Now, when we look at listening, in my opinion, there are two dimensions. There is the divine dimension, and there is also the human dimension. And both are critically important. It's just like remember the great command, you know, a lawyer was trying to trip Jesus, and so he says, what's the greatest command? And the reason is the Pharisees had hundreds of them. So are you going to dare to pick out one? And Jesus said, the two great commands, love God with your whole being and your neighbor as yourself. And so when we think of listening, I need to hear the call of God, but at the same time, I better hear the cry of the world, the cry of the world. And believe me, it's out there. I mean, just on the way here from Todd Memorial here, I saw a man with a baby buggy, and he was in a dumpster trying to retrieve something of value. I need to hear those groans. I need to hear those cries. You see, and so the lawyer who was kind of cornered by Jesus' response said, okay, then who is my neighbor? And Jesus gave them incredible story of the Great Samaritan. Now, it doesn't hit our ears as it hit a Jewish audience. Because who walks right by the man that's groaning in the gutter? Two key church people, priest and Levite. And who of all helps and is the neighbor? None other than a despised heretic, a Samaritan. So, you know, it's sort of a double rebuke to us. Are we hearing not only the voice of God, the call of God, but the cry of the world? Now, I'm sorry, Kurt, I like to spread conviction. When I get conviction, I love to be generous and pass it on. Folks, you and I, along with the wealthy sector of the world, are one-fifth of the world's population, consuming four-fifths of the world's resources. We're 20% of the world's population, consuming 80% of the resources. And I don't want to fool around here. There's a day coming when I'm going to stand before the sovereign of the universe, and he's going to say, hey, buddy, hey, Herb, I really put you in a sweet spot. Man, I blessed you in a lot of different ways. It is accountability day, Herb. Those were all my resources.